Hey, I'm so sorry about that. I was clicking some other, but I am so sorry, folks. Thanks for being here. We're like 30 seconds.
Die by the tech.
I was putting some more makeup on in the background. Well, the timer went off, and I don't know why we didn't go live. So my apologies, folks. We are live today with my buddy Rick. Rick's out in Arizona, the warm weather. Rick, I got more snow today, buddy. But the reason why I had you on here, I'd love when you talk about real estate because you really have the Arizona market pinpointed. We're also checking on your health, buddy. I want to make sure you're okay. So Rick had some issues with his health lately, and we've just fallen up with him on that. And I also want to know what the heck's going on in your market, buddy. So,
well, I appreciate that, Dan. I miss not being on here. You know, the operation was a success. I had renal cell carcinoma on my kidney. They removed the cancer, and I got to keep the kidney. And the doctor came in to see me in the recovery room, and I said, he goes, "How's it going, Rick?" And I said, "Well, the vacation didn't match the brochure, doctor." But the thing that kept me off of here the most was not so much how I was feeling, but I couldn't talk.
Oh, I gotcha.
They give you that respirator, whatever it is, they shove a tube down. So I tried to get, and even sitting around people, I had a whisper in it. So that was driving me nuts, you know.
I talked to you on the phone a couple weeks ago, and you were like a smoker. "Hey, Dan, how you doing?"
I'm a 10-pack a day or now. So that's all back. The energy is up. I feel really good. And so I'm ready to rock and roll. And then Arizona Real Estate tried to get ready to rock and roll, but didn't quite take off, Dan.
Yeah. Well, obviously, it's kind of freaky here. We were talking about it today. Usually right after Super Bowl is when all the activity starts in the in people buying homes. And that's why I wanted to get you on here to say, what are you seeing out there? Because the refinances, I mean, right now, the phone's ringing off the hook with refinances. Thank God. It seems like all of a sudden, I mean, you might have the take on this one. It's like, or the purchase contracts are trickling in. I mean, we get 2-3 a day previously, and now it's like one today and one in 2 days, but the refinances are going crazy. I didn't realize how many people had like 8.25 rates.
Wow.
Yeah. Back in November 23, rates hit 8.1. So then if you had some, dings on your credit or whatever, you might be at 8.25 or something like that. Yeah. I'm getting them. I have one closing. He's saving like $450 a month. I mean, it's crazy. So if you're out there and you're, I don't know. So how's the market going out there? Because in Chicago,
Arizona's we're finally warm today. We've been cold, wet, rainy, wham. But
it snowed here on Monday.
Yeah,
it snowed.
Yeah. Well, and we had rain. So the market here is, I could describe it like this: good, bad. All depends on the neighborhood.
I gotcha.
And a lot of, when I say bad, and I don't mean, I'm talking sellers. Now, so in the outlying areas where there's all the new construction, it's really hard to sell your existing home. Even though you can have some advantages, so you've got a home that's in great shape and you have a pool, that's pretty easy to compete with a new build because new builds don't give you a pool. Nope. And you've got to spend another $100,000 later. So. Yeah. But the problem that we're having in this market that's finally starting to adjust is that, sellers just kind of got the memo that said, well, January looks like this is going to be a good month. Let's see what we can get for the house. And they shot for the sun, moon, and the stars.
Okay. But are they prices that are just crazy, though? It's like, oh, let's throw our house on the market for $500,000 more than expected. Let's see if somebody will take it.
Well, it's like I've seen somewhere, the past 2 years, real estate here has gone up 8% and they went up 20. So it's what I think, and I won't know for a couple of weeks. I think there were a lot of listings that said, well, let's just sign a 90-day listing agreement with the agent. And if it doesn't sell, I'll take it off. I did a survey and the respondent said that 24% of them are selling because they have to sell, job relocation, whatever. Over half of the 80% of the respondents said the other two choices, either they're just seeing what they can get and they'll let it expire, or if they can't sell it, they're going to try again next year. So not a lot of serious listings out there. I think it's the equity's there. Let's see what we can do if we can't get it.
Yeah.
So, and agents are having a hard time getting people to – pull back, but we have had some.
You want the numbers up?
Can we let me try to find it here first before I bore everybody with it. But I think it's average list price is what I'm trying to look here. There's too many. This thing has so many different choices.
That's like me trying to go live. I got to talk to you off camera at some point because I'm having issues with audio on a lot of these things. And I know you use a different platform, but
yeah, go ahead and show this chart. Yeah, there's a lot of different buttons to push here, but okay, here's average list price per square foot. See how it's turning? The red line.
Oh yeah.
Okay. So that's a good thing, but people came out kind of hot. This one is last year. Now, seasonally, it always tends to go up at the beginning of the year.
Sure.
And then it's turning back down. Now but this $359 per square foot is still higher than the average sales price. And so that's the one thing I've been touting a lot here, saying, okay, this is good that it's down, but you're not there yet. If we go to the average sales price, if I can find that here, and because that's where the disconnect is. Here we are, sales per square foot. I'll do monthly average, weekly chart again. And so it comes up. I'll go back to this. Now, come on, you can load. I'm at $359 there, and I'm at $313 here.
Yeah.
Notice how the monthly average sales price is still climbing.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, you're not going to sell your house if you are above that. What's selling in your neighborhood?
Got it.
Now, some people are pricing correctly in certain parts of town and still not having any luck. But places like Chandler and Gilbert, boom. I mean, you know, there's. Yeah, you put them out there and Friday, and you got, I don't know if you watch Caitlin at all. She said they had one, they had Friday and had an offer on Sunday. And
I talk to people all over the country that I bring you guys in because you're in an area that I don't really have a lot of, I don't get a lot of business out of Arizona. Lately I've been talking to a young man in Tampa, and he came across, he was all pissed off at you're and my buddy's, what's his name? The Reventure kid, whatever. So he's like, I'm in Tampa. I've been waiting. I've been watching these crash guys for years. And I don't want to get on the crash thing. I really don't want to get on there. But yeah. He's like, I've been waiting and waiting and waiting. And he's in my market. Basically, it's up about 150, 200 grand. I could have got a rate at 3.5. Now they're 5, 6.5, 7. He's like, I'm just doing it. So there's a lot of people that right now, they're just like, they're frustrated with it. They're like, the housing market, the housing prices aren't coming down. They're not crashing, you know? And, so that's what's going on. We're getting a lot of activity with refinances because rates, VA rates, I was just doing a VA video a little bit ago. We're down at like 6.1. So it's almost back in the 5% range. So, you know, I think as soon as people see, you know, 6.5 or 6.25, I think that'll boost up the markets. But I don't know, you know.
Well, here's the thing. I track every, you know, I get a track 7-day moving average, how many active listings, blah, blah, blah. And our homes under contract are 3,000 every 7 days, and 3,100 and 3,000. We've gone from an average of 3,300 in February to now 3,000. And it's not moving. It's just a flat line. So when I read articles that say sales have increased, because they have one on Channel 3 here the other day, their website, that February numbers were much higher than January numbers. Could this mean the market's coming back? And I went and looked and go, no, I'm still at 3,000.
Right.
Now, the difference between, and there's a lot of discussion out there right now amongst questions of people asking and different articles and stuff, that our inventory is growing. Well, it is. But it's not really growing because more and more people are listing. It's growing because of the active listings that come on. When compared to the contracts, there's a 300 to 500 home gap. So it was really easy for me to predict at the beginning of the year that said, I don't think this year is going to be a big busting out of the charts year. You can see there that our listings indeed were climbing, but it's pretty easy to predict where it was going to go. I said, we'll be at 26,000 by the end of March. Well, I've got a week and a half and we will be there. And it's just because every week, 500 fewer homes sold than what came on the market. What remains to be seen is how many expireds we're going to have on April 1st. I'm really watching that. But, and so people, they've got these news headlines that our listings are growing so much. And when they were way down here, like look at that 4,700, right?
What year is that?
And then the listings started climbing in 2022. And when they got about here, they go, listings have climbed 37%. And I said, good, we need them to climb 370%.
Yeah, just to get back to kind of normal.
Yeah. And, you know, and they say that in our market, normal's right here, 27,000.
Okay.
But I get a lot of comments like, well, how's this compared to pre-pandemic? Well, what does that even mean? Because the thing that really counts is this, Pat, and it's months of supply, the measurement between the number of listings you have and how fast they're being gobbled up. Okay. And it's gone down. We were 4.3, now we're 3.8. That's the number that, you know, if you're going to look at just one thing during your morning cup of coffee, look at months of supply. Now, is it going to get lower? Is it going to get higher? I don't know. I don't see anything on the horizon, and I'm saying maybe, you know, through June, that's going to change that 3,000 a week number. I just don't see it. But here's where people are really getting hurt here. These are average square foot on condos.
We got killed here during like the biggest impact we had in the Chicagoland area back in the 2008 crash. House prices plummeted. Condos got annihilated.
Yeah, if I compare it to single family residents, I'll take off condo and just put in the homes there. They're down slightly, but not to the degree that condos are.
Yeah.
I mean, that's and I think it's, you know, maybe it's maybe there's a lot of Airbnb inside of that as tourism. You know, the other thing that and you can take this chart off there if you want them.
Okay, sure.
The other thing that we're seeing now, and we're going to see this in different pockets around the country, like Florida and particularly in Arizona, Canadians. The Canadian dollar is only worth 69 cents here. And now with all of the chatter and the talk of tariffs and they don't like our president. And so they're putting their houses on the market. I'm trying to get a video with a guy that does, he's from Calgary and he has an office here in Arizona. He's got 10 listings and he's so busy, I'm having a hard time scheduling with him. But I said, well, what is it, the dollar? He goes, no, they've had it. He says, they just want out of the United States. He says, really? They're going to take their equity. He said, and they'll just vacation somewhere else. He goes, chances are they've been in Arizona a few years. They've already had multiple trips to the Grand Canyon. They've been to the beach in San Diego, and it's time to do something else, and they don't feel welcome.
Well, it's funny you said that, because there's a lot of people in the condo that I have down in Florida that are from Canada, and I'll be down there in about a month and a half. I'll have to talk to them about that. They're so cool, but yeah, it's like I didn't think of that part of the equation.
Yeah, my brother's in Palm Springs, and he's in a park down there with his fifth wheel, and surrounded by people from Canada. He says they just love him to death. They're just great people and having so much fun, and they're saying, well, we're not coming back.
Really?
A, it's too expensive, and B, we just don't like what's going on. And so, you know, it's an emotional tug. So, you know, that there's probably a lot of condos owned by people from Canada.
And there are down by me a lot.
So gonna watch that closely, and that, you know, I don't know. I don't have any way of pulling up the percentage of homes owned by Canada. I mean, it's just, I'd have to be a guru to get into tax records for that. But that's the other added dynamic that we're seeing now, which, you know, who'd have thunk?
And that didn't cross my mind.
If you price correctly, your house will move. It's just that people are still, the wave of optimism they had in January has kind of started to fizzle. But there's no desperation. I got to sell.
Yeah, there is none. And nobody, it's like, and I keep doing the reports because I keep watching the foreclosures and things like that to see, you know, what's going to actually uptick the markets, the foreclosures. I mean, the equity spread right now, there was a, I showed a report the other day in one of my videos, the equity. If you've had your house 5-6 years, your equity's huge. So, I mean, how would you get foreclosed on unless you went through COVID and never made a payment, and then you just never made a payment since then? You'd burn up all that equity, but it's hard to believe that, you know, you would lose all that equity to get foreclosed on.
Where's this chatter coming? And I see it in my chat that the FHA is with FA, one of those four acronyms, that they're holding back 7 million homes where people don't have to make their payments for 5 years. I can't find that anywhere.
I can't find
there
it.
There seems
I
to be this yeah. narrative that there's this ghost inventory out there that's going to, where people are not making their payments and it's going to show up. I don't see it.
I don't see it either. And I look at that. That's the data I really dig into, because I'm trying to figure out, you know, where, how many houses are coming to the market, things like that. I don't know why I dig into that as much. Well, basically because of the videos that we do all the time. I should just stay in my lane on the financing part, but it, you know, some of the data that I watch, it's just so bad. It's like you were saying, oh, the market's way up. And then you look at, here's what I've been getting grief on, and this will tickle you. Is, you know, most of my videos, I'm like, hey, mortgage rates are plummeting. And they might have dropped, you know, 0.1 or whatever. And I'm getting just pounded. But I'm like, okay, how about all these videos that the market's crashing, you know, the housing market's worse than ever before. And it's like, and you have house prices up. I hope you guys are bitching at those people too.
I love it when I see a headline that says it's a great big number. And then you go and look and it changes like 0.2%.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's... But yeah, I was on the interest rate front. It was kind of cool yesterday to see the Fed come out. And I know that's kind of in your wheelhouse too. I didn't realize the quantitative, you know, how they're selling off their bond portfolio. Did you catch that? And So I don't think a lot of people caught that, because, you know, I dug into the details last night, and about 8-10 months ago, or about a year ago, they were selling about $60 billion worth of bonds each month. And where this comes into play, I'll explain it to the audience. Rick gets this. Is here's, you know, I focus in on rates. Rick is, he's on the real estate side. Where rates come in, yesterday the Federal Reserve came out, and they kind of said, you know, we're not going to do anything with rates, but, you know, we expect 2 rate cuts in the future. They gave us the dot plot, which was really cool, and I went through those in videos. But they came in and said, we're going to start reducing the amount of bonds that we're selling into the market. So what you have to understand is what creates interest rates is a mortgage bond. What competes against it is government bonds. So you have, you know, you can see the national debt at 36 point something trillion. So there is a massive amount of government bonds out there. And now you have the Federal Reserve selling, you know, 50 billion bonds, billion worth of bonds into the market each month as well. You have a flood of bonds just plummeting the prices, and that's what's jacking up the rates. So if now the Fed can slow that down, they halved it back in June and they halved it again. I think it's supposed to start in April. That's going to be tremendous when it comes to the bond yields, squeezing the spreads and everything else. So I'm predicting rates, you know, in the 6.25 to 6.5 range, probably within the next 2-3 months. But the tariffs are just that's I think what everybody's just sitting back is just saying, I don't even know if I'm going to have a job tomorrow.
Yeah, yeah. We got a comment here. Says you guys reading the comments and answering any questions. We will. And I want to get back to what you said there too a minute ago. But there's a question up here I've been looking at. It says, how will the coming militarization of the border affect the Arizona real estate market? It won't. I mean, nobody was coming across the border and buying a house. In fact, they weren't even coming across the border and renting. They just kept going further north. So it's not going to affect us at all. It's a headline. The other thing that you know, somebody commented on my video last night and said, Jerome Powell said that inflation may come back, and yet they're talking about 2 more rate cuts. Isn't this scary to you? And I said, no. I mean, I don't get all wound up about Jerome Powell. There's a lot of other moving parts in our economy than staying up at night and worrying about Jerome Powell. But like you said, what people don't know that they're also doing is the way that they're changing their balance sheet, selling off mortgage-backed securities and selling off bonds. And then the other thing that affects everything we do is our national debt. That concerns me way more than anything Jerome Powell would say.
Yeah. So, Daniel, we didn't ignore you, I promise you. We were such in a deep chat, I wasn't even paying attention or Rick and I was talking. I haven't talked to him in about 2-3 weeks. I had to follow up with him again today. So, so yeah, folks, if you're on here, please ask any questions. You can ask a mortgage question. I'm happy to answer. You can ask a real estate question. Rick can happily answer with that. But we're just kind of diving into the real estate. And the whole point of us going live is, yeah, we can. Rick and I chit-chat on the phone every once in a while, but we come live because we want to really, truly help you guys understand the markets. So we come in here and we talk about interest rates and mortgage programs and things like that. That's why we do this. So if you guys have any questions out there, we would love to hear from you. And also, if let us know where you're watching from. That'd be cool because we try to incorporate everybody. And I know today we'll probably just get a lot of people out west because of Rick. And I appreciate you guys coming on. So
I don't bring that many people on.
But yeah, it was the dynamics right now that we're seeing here is the contracts. I can talk about the contracts coming in. You can talk about the numbers. It's just I usually on our side we don't get busy until April. Because of the weather, you know, I do a lot of Midwest, East Coast. We do some in some deals in California through your neck of the woods, Texas. We do a lot of Texas and Florida. But we do a lot of Midwest, Ohio, New York, things like that. And the weather just it's like here. Saturday was 70. Monday we got an inch of snow. Tuesday was 30. Today, yesterday snowed. Today's 60. It's nuts. I feel like I'm in Colorado.
Yeah. It's, I'm finally going to take my RV out on Sunday and spend a couple nights out there. I've been, but I haven't, you know, obviously didn't have any time or the health to do it. So I'm going to go out and take care of that. But I think, you know, you talk about things getting busy. I don't see us getting busy. I mean, this is our time of the year right now.
Yeah.
And it's slow. It's slow for everybody involved. They go, oh, sales are going to crash. Sales have already crashed. You know, newsflash. I mean, then you start, you know, going back to the inventory. Go ahead and throw the chart back up there real quick. Yes, sir. Talking about, oh my goodness, look at how much it's grown and everything. I say, okay, well, let's go back to 2008. Okay, there's 56,000 listings. Okay. 2006. Okay. At this time, there were 34,000 listing. People ask a lot of questions about pre-pandemic, which I guess that's some kind of a benchmark, but let's go to 2018. We're still way above that, but not by much. They were 17,000. And then somebody asked about 2014. Well, we're just about mirroring 2014 on everything. But having said that, then you have to ask yourself, well, what does that really mean?
Yeah.
And it doesn't mean anything unless, except for the relationship between those new listings and sales. Now, if our sales jump to 6,000 a week and we end up at, you know, 2014 inventory, prices are going to go up. If we were to jump to 5,000 a week today, prices would start climbing immediately. But there's a process. First, the listing prices start to come down. Then the under contract prices start to come down, and that takes another couple of months. And then it's like 3 months after that where the average sales price starts to come down. That's when people get the message. Oh, geez. You know, it's looking grim out there. So that's not going to happen between now and June. I think in August, unless we see a reduction in rates, I think people are going to have a serious discussion about where the market's headed. But there's a lot of stuff that can go on between now and August. So like I say, I worry more about the debt than I worry about anything that Jerome Powell has to say. If there's progress being made on the debt, and you know, which is not going to get solved in 6 months, then you know, we could see the bond market react favorably. And that would help rates. I mean, that's in your wheelhouse, not mine. But you can pull the chart off. I'm done with that.
Okay. There's a comment there. Then that's probably something you can address. Fairbanks, Alaska. I don't know if I've ever done a loan in Alaska.
I've never been there, but you got the same month supply we do. We're at 3.8. Homes are priced 3.5% interest rates. Some are pretending that's still there. But that again. You know, we're seeing that, oh, okay, that didn't work. And so, like, so that one of the news stories that came out, and I think I glossed over it, was how much more February closings were than January. Well, January, those contracts were written in December. We're always slow in December.
Yeah.
And then when you go back and you look, it happens year after year after year. There's more contracts in February than there ever is in January. But for some reason, this television station decided to make it a news story.
Yeah. Oh, no. All right, let's see.
Here we go.
We got a comment. Homes are priced 3.5% interest rates.
They're priced like financing is cheap.
Oh, got it. Yeah. The entire market is. Gotcha. Yeah. So, I what's going to go on with interest rates? I still think we won't talk about Doge because that'll get into a we'll get way too much chatter on that one. But on our end, I'm starting to see a lot of people are coming out of the woodworks for the refinances. But for some reason, it's like the purchase market. We were just talking about it this morning. It's just like, where is it? And for those that see it's going to crash. I think last year, and this. Wasn't last year the worst year on record for sales, the number of sales? If not, it was damn close.
Well,
nationally.
Pretty slow. Nationally, yeah. Yeah, it's pretty slow. I mean, it's the worst in 14 years. But inside of that 14 years, there were some really rocking. So I hate to do it to you, but I got another sales per month chart up there. You can put that up, Dan, and see.
Sure thing.
And now it's... We're in March, so this one hasn't populated. But you can see that if we just look at February, that and you hear things like, "Well, it's been the worst, in, since whatever in 14 years and stuff," and we're down here. So then you got to ask yourself when you see this, well, how much worse can it get? And so we can go back to let me roll this down a little bit here if I can. There we go. Everybody likes our pre-pandemic levels, so let's see how rocking and rolling was that. Let's go to 2018. They were rocking pretty good right there. Let's go back to the doom and gloom of the pandemic. Are we still allowed to say that now? Because I know YouTube was killing that for a while.
I don't know.
They demonetized you if you mentioned. So everybody called it the cough. And there's... Now, here's an interesting one. So see how low sales were? But see, this is coded, these colors. These are foreclosures. Oh. That's the only activity that we had going on in 2008. You don't see any of that anywhere in here. So will this be a repeat? I'm a betting man. I'm going to say no. And no one here says, we got 50 million more people. It's slow out there. I mean, is it going to get slower and slower? Well, if it does, then what do you think will happen to months of supply? Normal's 4 to 6 months. We're 3.8. So you just have to watch that number. It doesn't matter how slow sales are if listings are low. Am I making sense?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, if we're only listing 1,500 homes a week, which is dismal, and yet we're selling 2,500 homes a week, prices are going to go up. So
are you seeing the price deterioration? I'm going to get some of these. Let's get to some of these things. Are you guys seeing more transactions using? I don't know of anybody that's got an assumable loan.
Tiny and they take a long time.
Yeah. I don't see any though. They wouldn't go through me, so they would use might work with Rick, but they wouldn't use me for the transaction. So I don't know. We've had people calling in saying how you do it, whatever. I've been in this business 35 years. I don't know of anybody, and I don't know one that's being done. That doesn't mean anything, but yeah. That's out of my wheelhouse a little bit. Let's get to some more. Are you guys seeing the next question is? You can't have foreclosures if FHA is keeping them off the market. Wall Street Journal article.
I can't find anything on that.
If you could post that on here, we'd love to see it. Because I'd love to, I like talking facts. So when I can't validate it, it's hard to say, what's going on. I don't know what's going on with all that. all that's going on. Let's see. I think it's mostly no one is out there. No one. Let's see. Leading indicators are screaming recession. Screaming.
You know, but what is a recession? I mean, you know, it's 2 quarters of negative growth. Sometimes you don't even hear it.
It depends on, I'll say it. It depends on who the administration is. Remember last time we were in a recession and they rewrote like Wikipedia to take out the 2 years of or 2 quarters of negative growth or something like that. We've been hearing about the recession for two and a half years now. And some of the indicators are, I wouldn't say screaming. It'd be, but that's more like my rates are plummeting. But you know, there's about a 25% chance or 30% chance of a recession. There's always like a 20% chance of a recession.
Yeah.
So you know, you can. There's always something to be scared about. Let's kind of talk about this a little bit. Does the markets have to crash, or do they have to go fantastic, or can we just be steady? How about if that came back to fruition? Rates got to 6.25. People stopped, you know, just spending tons of money, just got back to normal lives, and everything just came back in line with normalcy. Could that happen? That's where I'm like, okay, folks, why do we always have to say it's got to crash or it's got to go crazy? How about if we just have steady and slow and steady?
Yeah, affordability may be a problem for years. I'm not arguing against that. It's
what's that?
Affordability could be a problem for years. I will never be able to afford to live in LA ever. Yeah. But yet people do. Right. Seattle, not going back there. So if, you know, we always have recessions. We've had one after another after another. And I've lived through some really bad ones. I've lived through some that I don't see. We've had high unemployment. Sometimes it affects housing. Sometimes it doesn't. I don't get my head wrapped around the what ifs looking out too far. I just can't. I just look at where I mean, my channel is not about forecasting like Zillow does for the year. My channel is just to say, here's where we're at. Here's the indicators that we watch. And here's what I see happening now today and what it means over the next 13 weeks and maybe rolling in December. Beyond that, I'm just spitballing and guessing just like everybody else. Because you know what? None of the big guys got it right.
Yep. When you have the Federal Reserve right. Yeah. The Federal Reserve, the dot plot came out the other day and it gives us predictions all the way out to 2028, I think. Hell, I want to go know what's going on in June of this year. You know what I mean? It's like, can we figure that piece out? But I have a home valuation or forecast coming out on properties on Saturday, I think it is. And the only reason why I did it is I'm starting to see all these videos again. It's going to crash worse than 2008. And I thought the funny thing was I thought 2001 was supposed to be 2008 or 2002 and 2003, but you're still referencing 2008 because it's never been that bad before and it probably will never get that bad again. So
I'm tired of talking about 2008. Yes. I really am. I just, you know, Warren Buffett's selling his housing business. Okay. Yeah, good. Well, he's going to make some money. You know, that. Right. Here's the deal. You're convinced real estate's going to crash. Everything's looking bad and everything's bleak. Okay. Okay. Yep. I can probably sit here and find all kinds of numbers that'll tell you the opposite. And it's not a debate. I'm just, you know, it's okay. I'm not there.
Here, let's see. I'm trying to find unemployment. Let's see. I'm going to go through some of these questions. Higher unemployment is what it is. Okay. Let's see the next thing before they rewrite it. Who's Mike? I don't understand what you're saying, Mike. Before we rewrite what? I'm going to check and see if you have any other questions. You don't.
Oh, I think you meant Wikipedia.
I gotcha. Man, I'm slow today, aren't I? Sorry. I'm trying to wiggle 15,000 things. I had Pat in the background. I forgot to let him know that we're doing this so he could bring that up. Former home builder CEO, we have, when have you ever seen home prices skyrocket and stay when have you ever seen home prices skyrocket and stay flat? You're seeing that right now.
There's other home builders and CEOs that said they think everything's going to be fine. So again, you can cherry pick it.
Yeah. But if you look at the national home prices over the last 3-4 years, 2001, between 2019 and 2021, we all have to admit prices probably went up 20-30%.
Yeah.
What have we done since 2022-ish? The market's been flat. The housing market. 2023, 2024, and most of 2025, the housing market is like this. So it can happen. But if you look at longevity or whatever, but I'm not going to go there. The whole goal is we're trying to help you understand how to analyze the markets, how to understand financing, how to understand how to finance it, how to look at properties, how to find realtors, all these things. If you're in the mindset that, you know, house prices are way too high, they're going to crash, you're never going to buy. Well, I, you know, I don't know what to tell you. If that's your mindset, you know, go back to those channels that focus on that. We want to change your mindset. I like Minority Mindset. I love talking to Spreet because he's like, the reason why I made my title what it is people have to change their mindset. Everybody thinks, you know, first thing we come up with here is, you know, the market's going to crash. The Dow Jones is this. It's all negative. Why don't we start talking a little positive? Let's say the markets are going to stabilize. Tariffs. I'm okay with tariffs. It's retaliatory tariffs and things like that. I don't want to get political on these things. But the whole point of this is we're just trying to help you guys, educate you guys on real estate, financing, and things like that so you can learn something. And you got to open your mind up to learning. That's all we're asking you to do. So let's keep going through the questions. Afternoon, Dan. Looking forward to closing on our refi with you. Well, hey, you're here. Same here, buddy. So I'm going to be shooting you an email for an update here shortly, bud. So thanks. Your wife signed 2 days ago, so all that stuff moved forward. So thanks, Christian. Appreciate you being here too, bud. Let's move forward. And Warren Buffett is selling his housing business. No. Okay.
There's a lot of consolidation going on in brokerages beyond just Warren Buffett. Your Rocket Mortgage bought Redfin. Compass just bought somebody huge. It's just, there's this huge consolidation, but nobody hears it except they hear that Warren Buffett's selling his. Well, there's a reason. They're consolidating. It's slow. So everybody's consolidating. I'm trying to combine resources, you know, to combat and compete with Zillow. And so it's almost like what the grocery business did many years ago. Everything was like 2007-ish, I think. Every grocer was getting gobbled up. Albertsons merged with this guy and that guy. And now we're seeing that in the real estate industry. But if Warren Buffett does it, oh, my God.
Warren Buffett sold Apple. His Apple stock.
Yeah.
I still own it and I'm doing fantastic. And I also own Berkshire Hathaway. So I'm covered both ways. So yeah, you can't just pick a cherry off a tree and say, oh, that one's bad, so the whole tree's bad. That's going to be my analogy. So you have to look at the broad scope of things. I just made that one up.
Not a real estate cheerleader. I'm not trying to tell everybody buy. I'm just saying, look, I'm going to show you the numbers. You make your decision.
And that's exactly what the whole channel is about. That's what my channel is about too. I'm not here. If the housing market went down 20%, I'd come out and see, folks, the housing market's down 20% today. How can you use this to your advantage? What should you do if you're in that situation? We just have to roll with the punches. So,
well, if you think, Dan, let me ask you this. If you think the market's going to really soften, it's going to crash. And somebody made a comment to me about a week ago about, you know, you baby boomers ruined everything. And I really take that. That ticks me off. Give me a break. I mean, you want to live what I lived through? You know, you want to be a baby boomer like me, where we had gas, where we had to stand in line. We went through junior high and high school convinced that once we graduated, we were going to send to Vietnam and get shot. That was what I lived through. Yep. Did you ever get your wages frozen by the president like I did in 1973? Couldn't get a raise. So, you know, cry me a river that baby boomers ruined your life. Yeah. But if that's how you feel, if your mindset is that you're blaming somebody else, you're not going to succeed. If your mindset is that real estate's going to change and it's going, then good. Where are you investing your money now? What are you doing to better yourself? Take real estate, put it in another bucket. Are you lowering your debt? Are you investing in the stock market? Bitcoin went up 1,200%. Were you in that party, or did you sit on the sidelines saying things are bad? In other words, I get it, but what else are you doing besides complaining? I'm off my soapbox now.
I love it. I love it. And that's what my channel is about. I don't care. You know, I jumped all over the Crash Brothers. No one's probably one of them or something like that. And I'm fine with it. You have your opinions. I have mine. My whole thought is, and like Rick just said his, I grew up in a small little West Virginia coal mine town. My parents, here's what my dad came to me. He worked in the steel mills for 35 years. God bless him. Most money he ever made 1 year was 40 grand. He told me, but he said, he came to me and he said, like I told your sister and your brother, we'll buy you a car or you can go to college. Well, my they went to, you know, I was the only one that graduated college. But that's what I did. And then when right out of college, I had $3,000 in the bank, $3,000. I used all that money to buy a car to drive to Chicago to find a job because I had this theory, this thing that I wanted to be on in the stock market. I didn't know anybody in New York. So I had a relative who knew somebody in Chicago that they're like, yeah, you can stay with us for a while you find a job. And that's what I did. I packed up all my shit in that $3,000 car, drove here, and just kept going door to door to door till somebody would hire me. And that's what I did. And I got into the mortgage business at that point. I didn't even know what a mortgage was. I was in a storeroom, you know, just calling people all day, all night. That's how I got the start in this. And that was 37 years ago. So it hasn't been an easy ride. But I've been able to put money aside, buy a house. I'm on my third home. I have a stock portfolio. If I would have just sat there and said, oh, I'm from a small coal mine town and we're all stupid here, I'd have never amounted to anything. So you have to do it on your own if you want to. So
yeah, I was 19 years old driving a forklift, tearing up a railroad track in the rainforest. I made really good money, but it was hard. So I had all this money in the bank. I went to my dad. I go, "What? I want to buy some land." He goes, "No." He said, "Take a trip." He goes, "You're not married. You don't have kids." He goes, "Go have fun because you'll never have this opportunity again."
Perfect. Awesome. All right, let's get to some more here. Let's see. I get a kick out of these ones. I don't need asset price manipulation to be successful. I have no clue what you're talking about. So, I'd love if you'd like to call me or email me. All my information's down below. I'd love to talk to you. If you want to hide behind your icon, you're more than welcome to. But it's not a debate with you. We're just trying to give you our opinions on how things work. So let's get over to it. We have the Catholic Misfit just purchased a new construction home in Marana, Arizona. Homes are booming here in the Tucson Vale. This is in your wheelhouse, buddy.
Yeah, that's a pretty sweet area down there.
Yep. And it's so housing market isn't crashing. So the Catholic Misfit, let me ask you if you're still on here, why did you buy? Because, you know, what we hear from a lot of people is the markets are going to crash. I guess we shouldn't go down that path. Did you relocate or did you just kind of buy your first house? Love to be able to transition with you. Let's get to the next one. If you wouldn't mind answering that question. If I own a house with an interest rate lower than today's interest rate and I'm looking to buy a new one, what's the best way to determine how the payment would change? Oh, so Daniel, here's what I tell people to do. Look, when you're running run a mortgage calculator and run everything at like 6.875 is the rate. And just use that as your template right now to qualify. The rest of this is if I own a house with an interest rate lower than today's rate and I'm looking to buy a new one, what's the best way to determine how the payment would change? It's not going to change on your current house. Your new house will have a whole new loan. It'll have its own interest rate, its own taxes, its own insurance. Rick, am I missing something?
No, I think the hard part is in new construction because you don't, you know, how the taxes line out change after a couple of years, but they're really good at telling you what they will be. And then if you're getting another house, it's a resale house, you can see the taxes there. There are some states that let's say your taxes are $1,800 a year and it was an assessed value of blah, 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 and now you bought it at a much higher value, it immediately resets that year and you're getting dinged. So you want to have that conversation with your agent and say, hey, where's this going to be in 2 years? How much can I expect this, you know, tax bill to be? Because there's some states, especially Washington State, people are just getting pounded with price increases on their taxes. We have a cap.
How's your insurance out there?
It's up, but it's not anywhere near what we're seeing everywhere else. I mean, we're collectively feeling the pain because, you know, that all gets spread, right? So it's gone up. Car insurance has always been high in Arizona because we have a lot of auto theft out here. Gee, go figure. And my car was stolen 3 months after I moved here.
That's got to be a freaky feeling.
Called and said,
out here.
Hey, did you take the car? I go, what do you mean I took the company car? She goes, where's the Jeep Cherokee? I go, you know what? I didn't see it in the driveway.
I got towed one time. You know, I got off the train, went over to get my car, and I'm like, I know I parked it here. That's the freakiest feeling. So we have no more questions.
He's asking, he's going, sell the old one, buy the new one. What's the difference in price per month out the door is what I'm asking. So closing costs, et cetera, I guess. So what's the difference in price per month out the door? Boy, that's pretty open.
Depends on the
price that you're buying and stuff.
Here, I'll pop up another one. I purchased, here it is. I purchased because of a long-term home for me. Even if the crash happens, I stay perfect. And that's the people we're trying to talk to. If you're trying to use houses like trading stock or Bitcoin, please don't do it. Please don't do it. You're going to lose money. You can't trade homes. If you're going to be in the house 5, 6, 7 years, look and doing it. If you plan on being there kind of forever, I'm a proponent of buying a house. So we'll get through a couple more of these, and then I'll let Rick go because he's a busy fella. Y'all still can't sell my house.
You can't sell his house in Queen Creek. New construction stealing his buyers with lower rates. That's a lot of that's going in Queen Creek. But the one thing I've seen on new construction out there too, Clint, is that, you know, I mean, Queen Creek along with Maricopa and Buckeye are considered buyer's markets. In other words, you can get better deal out of the sellers, but, depending on where your home is, the new builders are not offering the lot sizes that normally have been out in Queen Creek, which are a lot of custom homes. They're not offering swimming pools. So you can be competitive. You just can't be competitive on rates. But you can be competitive on rates if you offer to buy the rate down for the buyer. And we're seeing a lot of that. So when you're looking at the price, try to look at, you know, people look and say, I bought here and prices used to be up here and now they're down here. Well, how are they in relationship where you originally purchased? You know, is that bleak? How is that? Is there still some equity there for you to work with? How bad do you want to move? Can you get it at that peak level? No. New construction has shaved, given you a bit of a shave and a haircut out there. But, you know, there's still some options for you. And again, depends on where your house is.
Awesome. All right, let's see if there's any more. Let's see. Treat the profit from the old house as down payment toward the new house. Brilliant idea. Thanks, Christian. Appreciate it, buddy. So, Rick, I'm going to leave it at that, if that's okay with you. I've been on this. Are you having another broadcast today? Or was that
postponed? I'm not. No. Well, I'm waiting to hear from a guy just to do a recording. That's that Canadian real estate agent from Ontario, from Calgary. So I really want to drill into what's going on down here with the Canadians. You know, because here's an interesting thing. The Canadian dollars were 69 U.S., you know, 69 cents U.S. And I reached out to him. I said, gosh, you could sell your house down here in U.S. dollars and then go buy something in Belize where the Canadian dollars were the $1.41.
Exactly.
That's good math, right? You know, so. Yeah,
good call.
So,
not a bad idea.
So,
hold on. Let's get to one more, if you don't mind. Okay. Hi, Dan. My wife will be on maternity leave. Can we still use the income to buy? Be our third house. Yes, you can. As long as she's still on their payroll, they can't really fire her or anything. So she'll be on maternity leave. We'll just validate that she's still employed. She will be coming back and we can use her income. So great question to end this. Rick, I can't thank you enough for coming in here. We'll start doing this once a month, get it a little flowed down, get some buyers out to you out in sunny Arizona. And like I said, I greatly appreciate you coming on when I ask you to. And it's great. Good to see you, buddy.
Well, it's good to see you as well. Thanks for inviting me. So.
All righty. Well, hope you feel, hope that your health continues to go fantastic. And there he is, the man, the legend. So, folks, that's it for today. I greatly appreciate you
watching. Get your PSA checked.
Yeah, that's his public service announcement for today. So thanks, Rick, for coming. And if you guys need any other questions or concerns or anything answered from either of us, you can get a hold of Rick, and I'll find his information right here in a second. There is Rick. So you can get a hold of Rick right through there at Rick Helps, rick@rickhelps.com or his website, rickhelps.com. So check out Rick. He's an Arizona realtor. And me, I'm Dan Freya. I do this report every day to help you guys stay informed of what in the heck's going on with real estate, folks. So thanks for watching again this week. Can't wait to see you here next week. Same time, same place. Thanks, folks. See you next time.